With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hello, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where no matter what is going on in the world, there are things to be thunk about all around you.
Would that be thinking?
I was trying to work with things to think about, but then thunk sounded funnier.
Thunk is definitely funnier.
Yeah, it's always funnier to play with grammar. Anyway, there are things everywhere, and don't worry, it's okay if you didn't notice them, or you didn't think about it in the moment, or you didn't realize, like, my goodness, I believe I have seen this 9 times today on people between the ages of 18 and 42. Maybe that makes it a thing. Don't worry, we noticed. We noticed on your behalf.
Right, right. We are here. It's a collaborative effort amongst all of us. We are merely the thing leaders of this ring of things.
Oh, wow. The thing leaders? That's our OP names.
That's I like this
thanks
a lot.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Oh, yes. Thank you for being here, live or not. Hey, my first thing was me actually casting around looking for home trends. Mm-hmm. I was thinking floral design might be something on go, but we kind of touched on that before in other areas. Mm-hmm. Cause I was seeing a lot of floral tile, and then it led me to this, Review Journal article from Las Vegas about trends. And one of the trends they noted was antiques, because there's a lumber shortage. Why spend the money on new furniture that's possibly getting more and more expensive? And if it's coming from outside of where you live, probably expensive to ship. Mm-hmm. Right now, when you can just get something old that looks great.
I love that. And I love it, too, because absolutely. And in fact, Marketplace just did a story a few days ago about how reclaimed wood is actually turning out to be, in some cases, the cheaper, easier option, because wood is so expensive. And so people are like, I can actually get this like beautiful reclaimed wood thing. And it's about the same price or even less. And then I just love it because a few years ago, there was a whole rash of stories about how like all of that heavy, chunky brown wood furniture that our parents had, mm-hmm, is just no one can figure out what to do with it because nobody wanted it. Like all these millennials were like, no, thanks. We don't want that. Like we don't want
things.
New, you know,
possessions,
pine things, or we don't want any, mm-hmm, possessions at all or whatever. And so I sort of love the idea that those would get all snapped up.
Yeah. I'm calling this ahead of time. Now, I'm getting the idea from the Review Journal, don't get me wrong. But I'm calling this ahead of time that we will see a swell of interest in antiques, which I think could have a ripple effect on style, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's like, well, shoot, it's too expensive to get that blonde pine modern thing that I wanted. Let me get this older, darker, heavier thing because it's antique. And then there starts to be the, you know, self-justification of like, plus I'm not contributing to wasted resources because, mm-hmm, I'm reusing, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like, actually, this dark old way of looking at things is kind of cool. I'm going to start getting other things that complement that, and, you know, so on and so on and so on.
And pretty soon the 80s are back.
I mean, the 80s are already back. Have you seen the ads for that Apple TV Plus show Physical?
No.
So, yeah, it's like dead center 80s.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're showing me something that to my eyes looks old, out of date, and reminds me of being 12 years old, but is probably super hip right now.
Apparently. I love this. And I love this also because it is going to go great with everybody's brand new, super cool, rebellious 80s outfits, including their platform heel boots.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everywhere.
They
even I'm seeing them. That's how everywhere.
They're everywhere. And this is like, I know you know this look, listener. I'm going to attempt to describe it. I mean, it's basically, you know, Doc Martens are back. And then that led to, in my day, and apparently our day is back again, this entire category of boots specifically that have a platform sole that's super chunky and ruggedized. Like it's, you know, it's got like a tread. In some cases, the heel, the whole entire sole of the boot extends out past the sides of the boot because it's like a freaking snowshoe. And then there's like a, some of them are carved to look like a high heel, except that it's this, and I mean, it's like, you'll see it described as everything from gothic steampunk to chunky platform boot, but they all have this kind of goth vibe that all started with Doc Martin. And I just, the degree to which it's back is just astonishing me, because I must have had like six pairs of these over a 10-year period. And I just kind of can't believe it. I'm like, oh God, not these again.
looking at the, at this lineup of platform boots, alternative platform boots, as Rebels Market calls them, that you link to, I hear in my head, groove is in the heart in a minor key. Oh my God,
that's exactly it. That is exactly it. They're the groove is in the heart boots. Oh yeah. God.
But goth. But gothier.
Yeah. But gothier, exactly. But not completely. I mean, there are definitely lots of versions that are, you know, but yeah, no, the goth chunky heeled boot is back, or as I used to call them back in the day, the ankle breaker.
Gothic punk poo leather snakes pattern bone high heel is one description.
Heaven help us. I mean, there isn't even that much to say about it, except that if you really wanted the 80s to be cemented in our style, it's like we've been creeping in toward it, kind of. But once you get this very specific platform boot that's just, you know, the sort of like Doc Martin and then some, you're there. You're there.
Having never really worn high heels or platform boots, are they more stable?
No, because they're ankle breakers.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, kind of, I guess, except that if you sort of slip off the side of one, you just snap them. They just, your ankle just snaps in half.
I could see them maybe even luring you into a false sense of security because they're wider.
Absolutely.
But then you're still going to suffer.
Like, these are great. But then one foot, you know, catches on the protruding heel of the other one, and then you're dead. I mean, they're better than stilettos, I guess, in terms of wearing them around. But yes, very recently, there was a piece in Yahoo Style from yesterday about Bella Hadid wearing bold platform boots. And they are exactly the style I'm talking about.
And who is Bella Hadid?
Oh, for crying out loud. There's like these two models. No, nothing.
I mean, I'm just asking for the people in the audience who don't know.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, totally. Yes. Bella Hadid. So the Hadid sisters are like something. They've been a thing for a minute. Uh-huh. Okay. But there are these two supermodel sisters, apparently. Bella and Gigi, I think.
Okay. Uh-huh. Of course they are.
And they evidently, that's funny because I clicked through on an article about Bella Hadid, which basically describes her as wearing exactly what Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie used to wear on their show, The Simple Life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's just all
And
back.
They're in that tradition, right?
Except now it's just these two. Totally is. Oh, heaven help us. Wow. Yep. Okay. We should have kept all our clothes. There you go. That's it. That's all I got. In case you're wondering, I'm not buying any.
Why was Paris Hilton in the news lately? She was saying something about being tired of being seen as who she is, right?
Yes. Well, it was that it turned out that she had been maligned. Remember, there was like a picture of her. There was a viral photo where she appeared to be wearing a shirt that said, "Stop being poor."
Okay.
And everyone was like, oh, you're the worst. And of course, you're wearing that. I think it was Stop Being Poor. And then she recently did a TikTok where she was like, that shirt never said that. It was photoshopped. And she showed her own photos of the same shirt that said, like, stop being boring or something, you know, stop being basic. Yeah. Like, it was like, they were like, oh, so it was just sassy and it wasn't mm-hmm. class warfare. But she was like, don't believe everything you see on the internet.
Whoa. we're going to learn that lesson. I'm optimistic. I'm overly optimistic. Yeah,
any minute now.
Don't believe everything you see on the internet. Someday. Speaking of design, here's one I'm going to call. I would like you to poke holes in this. There's definitely more independent designers out there in the luxury fashion, high fashion arena. Heron Preston is an example. Mm-hmm. DJ, kind of a self-made person, moved to New York, became a designer, has their own line of, you know, high fashion kind of work oriented stuff. Very, very like uses the NASA logo, did a partnership with NASA, uses the cat logo in partnership with Caterpillar. And, you know, it's kind of high fashion workwear, et cetera, urban fashion. Anyway, coming to learn about Heron Preston recently through, you know, a totally unrelated situation, I was like, well, there do seem to be a lot of these small fashion designers, right? Mm-hmm. That aren't necessarily like the next Louis Vuitton. They're happy being a niche. So I went casting around and I found this article on Design Good that's like, yeah, there's a bunch of indie fashion designers out there that have their followings. And it started to strike a chord with me of like, as we all get our own set of famous people that aren't shared with everybody else that are massively famous, right? We all have our niche TikTok star, our own niche YouTube channel that we like. It would make sense that there would be niche, you know, high-end fashion as well.
This is 100% a thing. I can poke no holes. I think it actually did number six on this list. I was going to say, I think that this started with Everlane. And sure enough, Everlane is number six on this list. But there has been this movement. Well, it's funny because there was a red carpet movement toward independent designers, you know, with a few people saying like, oh, I'm going to elevate a person of color or just an independent designer so I don't look like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then there did start to be this kind of like slow fashion movement. And that was what Everlane was about. Like, yes, we cost a lot, but it's just a, you know, it's meant to be a few high quality pieces that take a long time to make. And when they launch, at least we're always sold out. But then I think as a result, it has spawned this whole collection of collections of these brands that are like, yeah, our whole deal is to be small on purpose.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's sustainability. This Design Good article particularly is talking about sustainable designers, and sustainability is part of Everlane, of course. But I don't think that is all of them.
Right.
Necessarily. Probably all of them want to appear sustainable because that's good marketing these days.
Yep.
And some of them are like Everlane have built their entire brand around like telling you this is the factory. This is where it's made. This is what it's made out of. But that's just part of it. I think there's that wider niche indie designer trend.
Definitely. Well, and it goes hand in hand. You know, it only exists because direct to consumer is so effective. Like that's how you get Allbirds and Everlane.
You don't have to be in every mall to get in front of people. Yeah.
All you have to be is on Instagram. And so it's actually, you know, possible, sustainable in the business way to build a business like this. Okay. I'm so happy that you brought this up. I'm going to save a version of what I'm about to say for a later show but I have been noticing, and granted, it's the filter of my Instagram ads, but I'm like, wow, there are a lot of independent jewelry makers. Like lots, because I get different, you know, seven different Instagram ads for seven different independent jewelry makers. Basically every day, like at least at this point, Instagram has nothing to do with my friends and family. And it's just like a series of, you know, clever takes on hoop earrings.
I feel like, okay, I'm going to try this out and it may sound horrible or pretentious or whatever, but I feel like local has become distributed.
Yeah. Yes.
So follow me here, folks. It used to be you lived in a village and you wore the jewelry made by the local jewelry and the clothes made by the local tailor, and you ate the baked goods from the local bakery. And the cool thing about travel was going to the next village and being like, wow, their baked goods taste different. And look, those clothes are made a tiny bit different. Wow, that's so interesting. Then we, you know, fast forward to mass goods, where the complaint was like, every place you go is the same because they all have a McDonald's and they all, you know, they all listen to the same music. And, you know, we're just getting one big mass culture. And it feels like now we're going back to everybody can have a jeweler that's different than you and eat baked goods that are taste different than you and have clothing that looks different than you. But it's not because you have to, because that's all you can get in your village. Mm-hmm. It's because you choose the smaller independent thing that you like.
Yep. Yep. Without a doubt. And because every local brand can have a national market. Thanks to, you know, I'm doing a little crossover with our stories here from Marketplace Tech, but there has been this huge acceleration of e-commerce during the pandemic. And even before that, like direct to consumer already was this like really powerful trend in commerce. And then everybody else and all these companies came in and started enabling it, from Facebook to Shopify to, you know, even just Instagram ads. But like you can be online super easily. So you cut out this sort of like massive cost and maybe don't even have to have a store.
Yeah. We were in a Zara yesterday, clothing store for anybody who doesn't know. And Eileen found a jacket she liked. She looked at the line to check out and was like, man, maybe I'll just buy it online. And then I pointed out, like, they have a QR code here in the store on the sign for that jacket. She's like, oh, she bought it in the store online.
Online. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm like, there's that just happened for whatever reason, but that's a behavior that can be encouraged, right?
Absolutely. Yep. And or you never go anywhere near the store. Maybe somebody just puts up a model in Times Square, you know, a mannequin. Or
the store isn't
with a QR code
filled with everything that you need to buy. Yeah, the store can be anywhere.
Yep.
It can be on the bus or right. Yeah.
Dude, I totally want, now I want to start an independent brand just so I can start stashing mannequins on subways in cool outfits with QR codes.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. But Abby James in the Discord points out I've done the same thing, but mostly because I didn't want to figure out how to take it home, which is so true. If you like are not driving, or you're going to be walking around for a while, or you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Well, bring us on home, Molly. What else you got?
I mean, we are really of a piece today, actually, because our first two things went together and our second things go together just in the sense of like just fanciness, because a lot of these small independent brands are like, we're sustainable and fancy. And I'm very excited to have gone out into the world and to be able to report back a cocktail trend.
Yay. Aha! A real life cocktail trend you saw in the wild?
A real life cocktail trend that I saw in the wild. It was amazing. And I don't even think it's brand new, but it's definitely spreading fast. And that trend is dehydrated citrus as garnish. So like a dehydrated slice of orange. Not just a peel.
Right. So sometimes there's the peel as a garnish. Sometimes they'll do the like half a slice of lime cut in the middle and then perched on the side of your drink. What's this about?
Yeah, this is literally a slice. And then you can sort of just like float it in there. I don't even think like I tried to chew on it and you can't really. I mean, it's sort of like a chip. but I've seen, since I have been looking it up, like people will float it on the top of a small glass and a big ice cube, and then you can lay some cherries across the top. It's literally like it's a whole entire slice of a citrus that's dehydrated, and you can order them on Amazon. You can make them yourself. Huh. You can get them on Etsy. They're like super cute, fancy.
Does it add a little hint of flavor too? It feels like it would work kind of like tea, since it's dehydrated, and just sort of rehydrate and maybe.
I think so. Like if it sits in there long enough. But no, I don't even think that. I think it's mainly
just a straight up
garnish.
Just pretty.
Yep. It's just real pretty. And I was like, I do want to order some of these on Etsy and make fancy drinks.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because
the fanciness is the fancy urge is starting to creep up.
I saw this in the lineup. I kind of knew it was coming, but I wasn't ready for how relaxing it was to hear about a real life cocktail trend again.
I know.
That wasn't. The trend is you can order cocktail mix delivered to your house so you can make cocktails at home, right? I think that was the last one we had.
Totally. This is like, oh my God, I went out of the world. I mean, for all I know, one of the articles on how to dehydrate your own citrus that I found is like from 2017. For all I know, this is a 5-year-old trend. Everybody has already been there and is over it. Although I did have a drink with one of these at a very hip restaurant, like super stylish, Michelin star chef. Like it's, so I don't believe that it's, you know, tapped out by any means. And
obviously
also, yes,
not.
It is literally as simple as that. I went to a restaurant. I had a lovely spicy tequila drink, which I think we've already discussed as a thing. Mm-hmm. And it had a dehydrated citrus in it. And I was like, oh, look how cute these are. Oh, you can get these and the bartender was like, oh, yeah, they're a thing.
It's going to be one of those things where I didn't notice it. And then I'm going to see one soon. And then I'll see it.
Yeah. I think so. And then I have a little bit of a bonus. You're going to have to go to the show notes to experience the true horror of this, if it is indeed a thing. My boyfriend sent me a link to a tweet that just said circle beards are the hot new thing. And then there was a series of photos of men with beards that encircle their entire face, by which I mean the back of their heads are shaved. Like they're like bald guys who have grown a beard and a strip of hair that makes a circle around their whole face.
So it's the chin strap, jawline, beard.
Yeah.
They carry it up
fringe
around the forehead and shave everything behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a thing.
I literally only have this tweet to point to. That's it.
I'm only saying this in hope, not because I know it's
so. If there is any chance that this is going to become a thing, it needs to stop now. Stop.
Matt Porter says, "If a mullet were an irrational number, yeah, exactly.
It's basically then like that.
Spot on."
I don't know.
I've been using clippers for a year and a half now.
Right. I have like too
hair,
much time.
And now I'm bored.
On my hands. All I know is that there are 6 photos in this collage that appear to be of 6 different men who have this thing happening on their heads.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying
please,
it now. Stop it. If you see it in the wild, put a stop to it.
All right, let's get to the feedback, and it's a thing.me. That Charlie dude sent in a returning thing. Did y'all mention Crocs recently? I can't remember. Anyway, I've seen several articles talking about Crocs recently. They're back. Mm-hmm. And producer Rich verifies and asks, are Croc charms a thing?
They are back as well, yes. We did talk about Crocs, didn't we? I thought we had them on the show.
I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. They are super back. And I will tell you, I bought some. And even so, I still am like, I don't know. But I guess they're even more, like they were back last year and now they're so back that USA Today is writing about them as of this month again. Anyway, they're back.
Not saying I'll never own a pair, but I've never experienced Crocs personally.
Dude, you know what I saw just this week, actually? Just as a crossover? Platform Crocs.
Oh, geez. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you needed any more evidence, folks, there you go.
Yep. Now they have they come with a platform sole.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Soon as you said it, I'm like, oh, right. I should have guessed.
Yep.
But yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And the charms
Crocs
are totally back.
Probably also a thing.
They're bajillion percent back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and
good job, Charlie, dude.
Well played. Daniel is here to verify the thingness of Bestie. Bestie is totally a thing. One thing that may either have started the thing or maybe just became proof of thinginess, not sure of the timing here, are the songs Bestie by Bad Baby and or Best Friend by Saweetie. You didn't hear this from me. I totally don't listen to this type of music.
Daniel, don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. Bad Baby.
Bad Baby.
Its own thing. It's true.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like
Love
this
it.
Corroborating evidence, Daniel.
Love
this
it.
Is excellent. Gabby on a shoe thing. Golden Goose shoes have been around for a couple of years. I see them online shopping sites like Gilt all the time. The weird thing about them is that they intentionally look dirty and scuffed when they are new.
Yeah.
I love sneakers, but they are not my cup of tea. I can make mine worn and dirty all on my own. Thank you very much. Cheers, Gabby.
I know, seriously. They do look, it's true, like not just scuffed, but like dirty. Like they have like dirt put on them.
Uh-huh.
For $530.
My immediate reaction is like, right, like buying torn jeans.
Yeah.
It's but if same torn jeans also had like
dirt rubbed into them.
Well, sure. It's not exactly one-to-one.
But yeah,
but
no, exactly.
Gabby's having the reaction that all my parents had to buying torn jeans. Like, why would you buy jeans that are already torn? Yep. Like, I sew jeans together. I patch jeans. And same thing. Like, why would you buy sneakers that are meant to look dirty?
Already have a hole in them. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I had missed the Golden Goose thing also, but they are legit a thing. And then finally, Brian needs a thing check on an animal thing and says, I've noticed an increasing number of TikTok videos of people with animals that don't belong to them. Huh. Usually a dog or cat coming up to them or somehow getting in their house or car. And he sent an example. Maybe they've always been out there, but they have been showing up on my For You page within the last month or two. Have you seen these two? I have seen two or three of those. Like several of them went viral. I don't know if there's just a lot of roaming animals now that everybody got a pet. Or what?
Yeah. Is this...
I hope it's not happening on the regular.
I know. I don't know. I can only... The only thing I've seen similarly is my friend whose cat was facing off with a peacock through the window. And he's like, I don't know where this peacock came from.
I think maybe... I was actually thinking about this just the other day. Like, I do think that the sheer number of animal videos must be related to the pandemic because A, everybody got a pet, which is why you can't get into the freaking vet, which is a business story that we need to do on my other program immediately. But also that maybe like people just, they have new pets that they're fascinated by and they have lots of time.
There's a combination of time and a little bit of some sort of Bader Meinhof thing where it's like, oh, I have an animal. Now I notice animals more going on maybe.
Maybe. But no, I think just like a lot more people posting videos of animals because
but that's what I mean.
More people
like,
have
because animals are more top of mind when they see the odd dog or cat. They're like, oh my gosh, dog or cat, what are you doing here? Whereas in the past they might have been like, oh, look, a dog, whatever.
Right, that's true actually. And they're like, get in my vehicle. Yeah. Also sometimes animals just adopt you. It's just that we never really saw that happen on TikTok before.
That's true. Maybe it's just the natural expansion of TikTok's universe encompassing a pre-existing thing that was never documented before.
Exactly.
Yeah, quite possible. All right. Our shout outs this week from our excellent producer, Rich Raffolino, are based on the About page on the Arduino website.
Arduino, of course, being the like build your own computer sensor kit.
Yeah, yeah. It's right? it's like a really really stripped down computer platform that's low power and good for like making robots or Internet of Things devices of your own or just controlling stuff.
There we go.
Man, Arduino. The mind of Rich Straffolino.
It's fascinating, right?
It's so fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And our patrons, genius. Of course, at the shout out level are those who support us at patreon.com/itsathing at, well, the shout out level.
Mm-hmm.
Here
we
go.
You get a shout out. Ray's giving you a shout out right now.
Oh, she totally is. She's like, I'll pay.
Actually, we are getting a package. And this is why I usually have Ray in the room with me. So she doesn't know we're getting a package and doesn't do that.
It's okay. No one's mad. Dogs also, dogs appearing on podcasts. Uber
yes,
thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also at the shout out. I mean, it was perfect. Perfect timing. So there you go. Would you like to do the first paragraph? I'll do the second. You
want absolutely. To all right. Here we go. Once again, these are shout outs based on the About page on the Arduino website. Lee Price is an open source patron based on easy to use hardware and software. Kevin Sill is able to read inputs, light on a sensor, a finger on a button, or a Twitter message, and turn it into an output, activating a motor, turning on an LED, publishing something online. You can tell your Eric Duncan what to do by sending a set of instructions to the Jake Woods on the board. To do so, you use the Gabriel Cohen programming language based on wiring and the Joe Hood software IDE based on processing.
Over the years, Louis St. Amour has been the brain of thousands of projects, from everyday objects to complex scientific instruments. A worldwide community of makers, students, hobbyists, artists, programmers, and Mike Akins has gathered around these open source patrons. Their contributions have added up to an incredible amount of accessible knowledge that can be of great help to James C. Smith and experts alike. Not that James C. Smith isn't also an expert.
He's an expert. Oh my god. I mean, how does he do it?
I don't know where he comes up with this seemingly limitless supply of
just
incredible
like
shoutouts.
Things and just like your support, it is seemingly limitless, and we are so grateful. You can become a member of It's a Thing at patreon.com/it's a thing, and thanks to everybody who supports the show. You're the best.
And keep those things coming of your own. We love the thing spotting going on out there. Like
so
I said, we're just
much.
The thing leaders. We
so
need
exciting.
Your things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Send them to us.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.